This is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. Or go home. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Good Saturday morning to you. Andrew Zimmel hanging out in studio. Another beautiful Saturday in the Twin Towns. We talked to head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Carson Yagi, coming up in about 20 minutes. But in studio with me to start things off, like we do every Saturday morning, is head coach of the Wahpeton Huskies, Wade Gilbertson. Coach, thanks for joining me for another Saturday morning show on the Giant Sports Show.
Let's go. It's been quite a few Saturday mornings now, hasn't it?
I know. I was talking to Mike. I said, I think we're collecting them. I think I've done like 30 Wahpeton football games at this point. We're getting up there in numbers.
Yes.
I know. Not as many as you have, but
yeah, right.
Getting close. Last night, a 26-20 final as the West Fargo Horus Hawks come into town and take the win. And coach, I don't know where you want to start. Last week we had a tough time. It was almost, you know, like, okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the game and then we'll move on to the next week. We don't want to talk about it. But I felt like last night's game, there was a lot of things that were good, a lot of things that were not so good. And I don't know where you want to start here, because we could talk about the good things first. Let's talk about the good things first. I thought the defense did a pretty good job in the secondary. I thought that there was really good ways to move the ball or to get into coverage. We talked about it before the game that this is not the horse team of a year prior that was going to line them up and knock them down and try to run over you. They tried to move the ball in the air. They did run the ball a little bit towards the middle and that end of the game. But what were they what you expected?
Yeah, it was exactly what I expected. Yes, okay. I didn't know if the quarterback for Horus was going to be able to sling it as well as he did. On film, they really didn't show a propensity to really sling it around like that, and their route concepts did not look like they were as crisp and clean as they were last night in their first couple of games. So we knew that they had a big, tall, athletic quarterback. We knew that they had athletic guys on the outside offensively. We knew that they were going to pose a problem on the ground. We knew that for sure. But yeah, they came out and they were feisty, as we warned everybody that they were. I was mostly surprised with the way that they threw the ball against us. They were pretty successful in throwing the ball around. I was impressed with how they were able to run the football as well. And it kind of controlled the clock a little bit. You notice we had limited possessions last night. And, of course, they had limited possessions as well. We just weren't able to capitalize on the possessions that we did have. And for some people in Wahpeton, watching a football game like that, the game might have been a little bit shorter than they might be used to.
Oh, yeah.
There weren't as many incomplete passes. There weren't as many passes, period, out of either team, especially out of us last night. We threw the ball, I think, less than we probably have all season long, maybe even in the last 2 years.
Now, why is that?
Well, we had a game plan, or I had a game plan, that we were going to get Trey Mauch an extra 10 touches in the football game, and we did that. We did that, and Trey played a heck of a game, man. He is a warrior. He battled. He was taking shots all night long. And I'm guessing that he's going to be in the hot tub bath a couple of times this next week, and we're going to have to take care of his body to get him back ready to play next Friday night. But I don't think Trey would have it any other way. I really don't. I think that he relishes it. I think that he wants it. He would probably come back to the huddle after he was out of the game for a cramp and say, give me the football again. That was part of our game plan, was to run the ball on them, and we thought we were going to be able to. And we were fairly successful running the football. We didn't break off any big long runs for touchdown scores like we have in the past. But I thought we were able to run it fairly effectively on them.
Three yards in a cloud of dust.
Well, yeah, you know, you go back to the old school Wahpeton football days, but I looked up at the clock at one point, and the third quarter, there was 4 minutes left, and I was thinking to myself, where in the world has the third quarter gone? And once again, you notice, you know, you nitpick at this, you nitpick at that as a football coach, but And I did that when I was a baseball coach, too. When I was a baseball coach, I was always the guy, when we got two outs in an inning, if that next guy comes up, we have got to get him out. We cannot let a guy get on base after we get two outs. Well, it's the same thing in football to me, but it's the third quarter score thing. If we don't score in the third quarter, we're going to be in trouble. We were marching the ball in the third quarter. We put together a really nice drive. We didn't technically score in the third quarter, but we scored very shortly after the fourth quarter started.
And I thought about that, and I was going to say that on the radio broadcast, we were saying, you know, it would be really nice to put a score on the board here to end the third quarter, and then you got 12 full minutes in the fourth.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And we didn't have the quick strike type of score last night like we have had in the past. But give credit to our guys. We put together a really nice drive there in that third quarter. And give credit to them, too. They played incredibly hard. They were incredibly hungry. And, you know, thinking back to the positives, too, I thought that our kids rebounded very well this week. We challenged them, our entire staff. They challenged each other. To come out and work really hard all week long and to represent Wahpeton a little bit better than we did against Fargo North. And I thought that we did that. And I thought we had a really good crowd last night. I was very impressed with the crowd's energy, or at least mostly from what I'm told anyway. I did take one look up there and saw that it was pretty full. And then other coaches tell me what they hear and see and stuff too. So I was proud of that. And I hope that everybody's as proud of the boys as I am, because I thought that they laid it on the line for each other last night. We just weren't able to capitalize, and we might have made one too many mistakes, and you can't do that in a football game. And they definitely won the turnover battle, and that was... That definitely was the story of the football game.
And it's interesting because Wahpeton in the past 3 weeks has not turned the ball over all that much. It has been a relatively clean game. And I've said, even going back to just a penalty thing, I've been really impressed by the fact that there hasn't been a ton of offsides, hasn't been a ton of holding penalties. Mm-hmm. I think there's been like one or two like unsportsmanlike conduct. So for the most part, it's been a relatively clean game. Last night, not the case. Last night, a couple of interceptions, a couple of fumbles, and they always... interception never comes at a good time. There's never a good time for an interception. There's never a good time for a turnover. But it felt like Bjorn last night threw two interceptions that, and again, we don't want to put all of it on his plate here.
Oh, absolutely not.
But it was like, you know, brother, we're driving here. We're to the end zone, man. Come on.
Well, I thought Bjorn made some nice calls, you know, as I've told you before, that he's got a little bit of freedom in our offense, and he made some nice calls. You know, the throws that he did make last night, that they made good plays defensively in their back seven, in their coverage. We took our shots. And they just didn't come to fruition. You know, sometimes you have to take those shots, and you've got to stretch that defense and take the top off of them every once in a while to get them to open up the run game. So I give all the credit in the world to our guys. You know, Bjorn is, it's not like he's trying to make picks.
No,
he's
come
trying
on, yeah.
To, yeah, he's trying to make those throws, and we love the kid. He's as competitive as they come. It may not seem like it when you have him in class or you see him in school or something like that, but he's coming off the field last night, and he's as competitive as they come.
We really like to use numbers to sideline, not numbers to numbers, in the passing game. Have you noticed that as a coach?
Say that one more time.
Between the numbers and the sideline, I feel like is where most of our long passes are coming from, not from numbers to numbers. So we're not using the middle of the field a lot.
Well, last night we attempted to attack the middle of the field a couple of times, and it just didn't work out. We attempted to run a T-burst at one point with Trey going up the middle of the field. And usually if they're going to play a cover two like they did, we're going to try to attack the middle of the field. And when we did try to attack the middle of the field, it didn't quite work out. We had tried to attack the middle of the field again on what we call a double post route on our left side into the field side, and we had another concept onto the boundary side, and we missed the receiver in the middle of the field, and we threw it to the other post, which is what we've been game planning, which is a really good concept, I think, against a high cover two. And we underthrew it just a little bit. Maybe the route was just a little bit too far vertical and not enough inside. But there's little things that you could nitpick on, but it comes down to us taking a shot right there after a turnover, after a big play. We're thinking, okay, we're taking a shot right here, and because that's kind of how you do it.
Are you talking about the fourth quarter?
No, this was a little bit earlier in the
game. Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay, because I was going to talk about that fourth quarter, and this is where I was having a conniption fit, and then our producer, Big Mike, was asking me if I was having a heart attack, because, I mean, so we'll set it up. So Wahpeton is able to score with 11-11 left in the fourth quarter. Horace gets the ball back off the kick, immediately takes one of the longest drives I think I've ever seen. It was like a 10-minute drive, driving into the south end zone. Wahpeton is able to make a stop, force a fumble in what was one of the most critical times of the game, because if Horace scores there, it's pretty much game over. We get the ball back with 2 minutes. Yeah. You're doing a whole lot there. Force a turnover, a four and out. And that has to be one of the more frustrating sequences of plays, I think, in the entire game.
Oh, without a question. Without question, it was very frustrating, yes. And we knew that we were going to obviously have to drive the length of the field.
Yeah, 90 yards.
Yeah, right. So we're going the length of the field in just under 3 minutes. And there was conversation with my assistants that we're going to have to speed things up here, boys, because we have not had the explosive play tonight. And we're going to have to get an explosive play, and we're going to have to do it quickly. And we tried to speed things up a little bit, and it may have caused part of the issue when we tried to speed up a little bit. But we're not going to be able to take 20, 30 seconds to snap the football there. We got to get that football snapped in 5, 10 seconds. So we went pretty quickly there. We did have some timeouts left, but we also knew that we had to go 90 yards. We had to drive the length of the field. And we wanted to possibly conserve those timeouts for a little bit of a different position, different spot of the field. And so we tried to get going a little bit, and I think that kind of caused a little bit of discombobulation, I guess you might call it. We had one play where there were a couple of guys that ran into each other, and they were a little bit confused as to what was happening. But that, and I take all the blame for that.
No, Andrew, you can't.
I always do. That's on me. I mean, if we practice that more often, and we do, we practice it, but maybe we practice it more often to get
them more
comfortable.
I've seen you practice a 2-minute drill, and it's looked great in practice. It looks good against other teams. It looks good again. I've seen it work earlier in the season. So that I think is the frustrating part for me, a person who is a fan. I root for both the Twin Towns, right? But I don't have a kid on the team. I have no stake. I've got no skin in the game. And it's one of those things where I think that it frustrates you because you know how good that they can run this offense. You know what I mean? I've seen it work, you know?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. We had them right where we wanted them. When they fumbled that football, we were going to go down and score and get the extra point, and it was going to be good to go. But you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. And like I said earlier, I said both to you and I think to Joe Schreiner once last week as well. I mean, that's you're going to have to face the music and answer the tough questions, and that's what comes with the head coach title. And
I try not to
play caller too, Andrew, and that's fine. Yeah. No, you're fine.
I try not to make it like that, though. That's the thing. Like I'm not trying to be like I'm not coming on here Saturday morning after a tough loss and being a jerk. I'm not trying to do that. Then you force a turnover. You force another turnover on the very next and that's the other thing. So it's like the door's open and then it's closed and then the window's open now. Yeah. And it's like you get another shot to do it and it's
And we could have punted the ball away there with about 3.5 minutes to go to with three timeouts, but we weren't gonna stop them. They were gonna convert a first down and they were gonna end the game if we would have punted it there. So you gotta go for it fourth and whatever it was deep in your own end. That's a tough call.
I'm all for it too. I completely agree with that. Because if you do convert that, all of a sudden now the ball's moving and the snowball effect and things change. You know what I mean? So
and the catch. I mean, we I don't know exactly if the ground caused it or what when we threw the
DeVries,
the corner route to DeVries. He made a great effort on the football. The ball was put right where it needed to be. What a great effort by that kid! I thought we had it.
Yeah. I think 100 times he catches it, 90 times.
you're probably not wrong.
And it was. I mean, like I said, great effort, guys. Yeah. I love calling the games. I like watching the team and everything like that. But it's like Saturday mornings, like after loss like that, you talk about it, you come in, you're like, oh, man, last night was a tough one. It's a tough one for us too, man.
It's a tough one
for us too.
And that's okay. And I want that to be the feeling in our crowd too. And that's fine. I mean, there's going to be people that are going to say, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing there? And I take that. I accept that. But at the same time, I want there to be some investment in our community. I absolutely love it. And I thought that there was last night from what I could see.
Yeah.
I mean, you get blown out, whatever the heck the score was against North, and then you turn around and see that you're playing another big school again the next weekend, and the stands are full. I love it. Let's go. That means that our community is supporting our kids and what they do, and we're going to get right back to work again on Monday and go out to Jamestown and look to go 1-0.
I was going to say, let's talk about it. I always say this, that every week it's 1-0. It's not think about the next week. It's 1-0 this week. So 1-0, you're trying to go 1-0 against Jamestown. What does it look like right now?
Well, Jamestown's going to be a good team. We haven't been out to Jamestown here in a couple of years. Mm. It's been a little while since we've been out there. We'll play at the college stadium because they share it now with the college team, and should be a fun atmosphere. Should be a fun game. They're going to have some cats running around, very much like Horace, very much like North. I mean, they're the two-time defending state champs in North Dakota, but they'll be looking for revenge because we clipped them here at home last year. And if we go into the game with a positive mindset, thinking that we can move the ball on them offensively and make them think a little bit on defense and make them have to work to move the ball on defense, we're gonna have a shot to come out of there with a win. I don't think that they are as good as they have been the last couple of years. They've lost a few guys here or there. Not to say that they haven't done a great job of reloading, because they do. But I think that our kids go in there with a positive mindset, and our staff gives them that positive mindset. I think that we're gonna have a chance to move the football and score some points on them.
Head coach of the Wappan Huskies, Wade Gilbertson. Coach, thank you so much for coming in Saturday mornings.
Absolutely, bud. Thanks.
Rooting for you guys next week.
You bet.
More of the Giant Sports Show coming up in a moment on the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.
The Southern Valley leader and your home for North Dakota State football. 1450 KBMW, an I3G media station.
I3G Media is proud to present our October comedy tour with two fantastic national headliners who have been featured on The Tonight Show, The Late Show, Last Comic Standing, and Comedy Central.
Your laughter means a lot to me. I've had kind of a tough stretch. I tore my rotator cuff during a prostate exam. It was a telehealth visit, and the... the iPhone and the laser pointer, and the doctor is just like, zoom out!
Don't miss your opportunity to see these two amazing performers. Wednesday, October 18th at the Wahpeton Event Center. Thursday, October 19th at the TAC Music Venue. Friday, October 20th at Shady's in Jamestown. And Saturday, October 21st at the Valley City Eagles Club.
To purchase tickets, head to newsdakota.com under the promos tab or on the Wheeler Dealer Radio Auction.
Welcome to the Radio Employment Connection, where we work to find people to work.
Join a winning team at Cargill Wahpeton. Starting pay of $26.90 per hour plus $3,000 sign-on bonus. Cargill Wahpeton now hiring for operations technicians. No experience necessary. We will train. Apply online at www.cargill.com/careers. Cargill is an equal employment opportunity employer.
NDSCS Dining Services has multiple full-time positions available. Positions offer excellent pay and benefits. Annual salary of $28,000 to $34,000. Part-time positions available as well. NDSCS Dining Services has multiple full-time positions. Apply at www.ndscs.edu/join-our-team.
Now hiring at Dakota Micro, north of Geneseo, North Dakota. Full and part-time positions available in assembly work, sales, and engineering. Great benefits include medical and vision, paid vacation, and holidays. Check out their careers page at dakotamicro.com for more details and to apply online.
To advertise on the Radio Employment Connection, call 833-917-4130.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code GOLD for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code GOLD for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code GOLD for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
Get a load of these guys. Unreal. Oh, they know how to put on a show.
And the Twins win the game! Are you kidding?
It's a new season, a new look, even some new faces.
Swung on, hit in the air. Hit deep and high. Gallo, gone. Three-run shot.
The Twins are my guys. These guys are...
Yo. Minnesota wins!
Secure your tickets at twins.com.
Ingstead Tours is heading to Nashville for Christmas, and we want you to come along. This travel package includes 4 nights lodging at the Hampton Inn Opryland, Nashville, round-trip airfare from Minneapolis or Fargo, motor coach transportation in Nashville, Grand Ole Opry, General Jackson Showboat, Dinner Show, the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bell Mead Mansion, and so much more. Go to InkstedTours.com right now to view the entire itinerary or call 701-419-5114.
Now, back to the Giants Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Good Saturday morning to you. Andrew Zimmel in studio. Hanging out with me is head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Carson Yagi. They had a long trip over to Pillager last night. So, Coach, thanks for joining me this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I gave you the second shift. I tried to give you a little bit extra sleep time, but, you know, it's a tough one. So let's talk about the game last night. It was a tough one. I mean, you guys came out strong after a kick return, right? I mean, good long drive, took a 7-6 lead at one point.
Yep,
is that correct?
It was up 7-6 after the first quarter. Then second quarter kind of got away from us, had a few mistakes on coaches' ends, on some turnovers, and Pillager came ready to go. They're a very good team. I think I talked to their coach and what they had 2 seniors last year, a lot of experience back, and they were physical. They were a very physical team that, you know, we were a little shocked by that. And, you know, they're a class above us, and you could kind of see by the overall numbers of kids they had on the team that ran out. It's like, oh, geez.
But well, that's what I was going to ask you, because last week we were talking about Pillager and you were like, this is going to be a really tough battle. You know, not only is it 2 hours away, but like you got to get mentally focused, mentally prepared for that. But this is going to be a team that's going to be very aggressive, very physical. And was it like that? You say on film it kind of bared out to be true?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was exactly right. What we saw on film. I mean, they were a very good team, very well coached. And I mean, they came out to play.
All right, well, let's talk about that first drive, because that is the one that I think care the most about, because that was the one that gave Breckenridge lead. You can't say that you didn't lead at one point in the game. You led at 7-6. So what was that first offensive drive like?
Oh, gosh. So what? We went down, and I mean, we were doing a lot of different things there on that drive. I had a couple guys running the ball. Paul Armitage had quite a few nice catches, and we capped the drive off with a touchdown pass to Cooper Roberts in the end zone. And had quite a few kids play well, caught the ball pretty well, and they did a really good job of getting after Bailey when we were dropping back to pass, and something we got to continue to work on and just kind of shore up on the offensive line, and you know, just making sure we got to continue to improve. It's, you know, there was plenty of mistakes last night that we got to learn from and correct, and you get frustrated when you keep seeing the same mistake, but it's something that you know, they're high school kids. Things are going to happen, and nothing has changed for us on you know, where we think this team's going to go. We've played 3 teams that we think are very good teams on what they're going to do, and I mean, the glory about it is we don't have to see those teams ever again. You know, they're all a class bigger than us, which is, you know, it is what it is. We're a 1A football team, but I mean, we don't hang our hats on being a 1A football team. I mean, we'll line up and play against anyone, but you know, it just hasn't turned our way here the first couple of games, which is, you know, it's more of a learning experience than anything. I mean, you're just playing for position seeding, but if you want to get to where you really got to go, you got to beat all the teams anyway. So
iron sharpens iron. That's what the old cliche is, right? So to go play some of the teams that are maybe a class or two above you, you get maybe pushed around a little bit, beat up a little bit, then you turn around and take some of the aggression out on other 1A schools.
Yeah, that's what you hope to do. But no, there's a lot of really good schools in our section. So no, it'll be good as we kind of finish up the rest or get closer to the second half of the season, where we get playing a lot more section football. See where we're really at and where we stack up.
Totally. So I want to talk about the Pillager quarterback, because the scouting report coming in, I do not think bared out to be true for me, because I thought this kid was going to be okay. It sounds like he was a pretty good athlete last night.
Yeah, yeah. No, really good athlete. What, I think he was a two or three or a starter for him, and, you know, 6'5", can move, and I think what they said, 200 pounds or so on the roster. But no, he was a really good player. Made a lot of plays for him and does a really good job of operating their offense. They put a lot on him on their veer option, and no, a lot of credit to him.
Talking to our guy Turnbull off, as he calls all the Breckenridge games, he was telling me that this is a guy that was just really, like, big. You could tell, like, when he walked on the field, like, okay, that's going to be, like, the leader of the team. And I thought to myself, like, I don't remember a lot of high school quarterbacks from when I played or watching guys that, like, just had, like, neck rolls. You know what I mean? And it sounds like this guy was, like, an old-school neck roll quarterback.
I don't know if I'd call him that, but, no, he was a good player for sure.
Solid. All right, so you had a chance yesterday to see some of the younger guys play in the second half of that game as, you know, substitutions were being made. Who impressed you there?
Oh, gosh, you know, a lot of the younger guys came out and played hard. I mean, a lot of good, really good kids that just love being around the game of football in our younger classes. Riley Kappas came in and that quarterback and immediately had a 94-yard run or something, got tackled at the one that scored on the next play. So that was pretty fun for him to, you know, just kind of, I don't know, get a young kid or find in the end zone. It's always cool on a Friday night. Lawson Oliphant played very well for us, but in the secondary and then in the backfield as well. He did a good job when he got in there. There's kind of just a whole bunch of kids that, you know, when you get in there, you want them to, you know, play like it truly means something to them, and it does. It's just because it's an opportunity for them to get on film and get better and continue to learn and grow as a football player. And no, they did a good job when they got in of being able to go out there with confidence and run our offense.
That's great, man. And you talk about Kappas being a younger guy. You look at that and you go, you say to yourself, like, okay, you know, Bailey Evans, he's going to be okay. We don't know when that timetable is going to be returned, but is that somebody that you look at and go, like, hey, we could put the ball in his hands next week?
You know, Riley's got a long ways to go as a freshman, okay, obviously. But, Trey Vogelbacher came in and started the quarterback for us in our second half. And, you know, he's been working with us for 3 years now at quarterback. And he did a very good job of commanding the offense. Came in, I think he passed for 24 yards or so on that possession. And I think ran for another 20 or so. So he did a very good job. We were very pleased with Trey when he came in. And, you know, the second half was kind of an opportunity for the kids. Like, yeah, the game's 0-0 now. You know what? The scoreboard doesn't matter. What comes down to is, are we going to do our job, or are we going to roll over? And they came out. They fired off the football. We really got moving. We got some momentum going. Unfortunately, that drive stalled out on the 1 yard line, or as we drove all the way down the field. But you know, it was good because it was kind of a challenge to all of them. Like, well, I mean, it's very easy, guys, to roll over and, you know, let's just run out the clock and have this game be over. And you know what? It is what it is. Or we can come back. We can challenge ourselves. We can dig a little deeper and see if we're going to be what we want to be.
That's great. Now let's go through the patented stat pad for Breckenridge. This is my favorite part of the morning. Let's go through it.
Yeah, so on the passing side, Bailey had there was 7 for 14 passing for 68 yards. Trey was 2 for 4 passing for 24 yards. Paul Armitage, our running back, who we had a little throwback screen in yesterday, was 1 for 1 for 14 yards. That was kind of fun to see. Riley Kappas was our leading rusher with 94 yards. Trey had 35 yards. Bailey had 23 yards rushing. David Erlinson had 43 yards. Paul Armitage had 37 yards rushing. And then on the receiving side, Bailey had a 14-yard catch. Dawson had 2 catches for 22 yards. Jacob Kunkel had 1 catch for 12 yards. Cooper Roberts had 4 catches for 32 yards and a touchdown. Paul Armitage had had 2 catches for 26 yards, and Jackson Riggs had 1 catch for 6 yards. Defensively, we were led by a whole slew of guys. David Erlinson and Paul Armitage continue to be our leading tacklers at a linebacker position. Those two have done a phenomenal job. Tegan Abel was another kid who came in with 4 tackles. Lost my spot.
No, you're good, man. This is perfect because it was going to segue into me asking about the defense, what impressed you on the defensive side of the ball.
You know, on the defensive side of the ball, we're continuing to kind of learn and develop on understanding how we got to play, what we got to do, and how to play our defense. Last night we were in a little bit different of a look compared to what our normal base is, with just what they run on offense, and really challenged the guys. Just essentially it was just coming out and flying through them. We got to play harder than what they did, and needed some kids to make some big plays that, unfortunately, Pillager did a good job of really being able to control the line of scrimmage, which is something that we were a little nervous about going in with their size and their experience that they have up there, but our backers continue to play well. Lawson Olafon had one interception for us in the first half, which is awesome to see. And, it's a continuing learning process on defense and just trying to improve with it.
Good stuff, man. Are we missing any other stats here, or do we...
Oh, gosh.
Because I know that you're a busy guy. I'm trying to keep things moving for you here, man.
Nope. We're good.
Head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, Carson Yagi. Coach, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
More of the Giants Sports Show coming up in a moment on the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.
KBMW. Mental health challenges among our youth have reached crisis levels post-pandemic. Anxiety, depression, trauma, and addiction are at unprecedented levels among teens and young adults. Parents, if your adolescent, teen, or young adult is struggling with mental health challenges, empower them with a fresh start at Hazelden Betty Ford. Hazelden Betty Ford can provide a clear path forward for you and your children, in network with most insurance. This message is brought to you by Hazelden Betty Ford, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold listening to this music while you wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense.
Ask Beth Teagues or Sue Hermes at Hankinson Insurance if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Ingstead Tours is heading to Nashville for Christmas, and we want you to come along. This travel package includes 4 nights lodging at the Hampton Inn Opryland, Nashville, round-trip airfare from Minneapolis or Fargo, motor coach transportation in Nashville, Grand Ole Opry, General Jackson Showboat Dinner Show, the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bell Mead Mansion, and so much more. Go to InkstedTours.com right now to view the entire itinerary, or call 701-419-5114.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Uses directed. Keep out of reach of children.
I'm Ebony Loren, and Febreze's new scent, Soothe and Restore, is so good I wrote a song about it.
I know just what I do. Febreze has my favorite scent. Makes the perfect environment. Sweet like sugar, smooth shea butter. What could be better than being with each other now? Breathe that beat.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're gonna go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you gonna do? You're gonna go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You gotta dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. I know you won't, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Don't miss the huge price crash going out of business sale at Fantasy Furniture in Lisbon. Every single item must be sold. Shop now for an extra 21% off all furniture and mattresses. Save on all better quality furniture at discount prices for every room in your home. Appliances and carpet on sale too. The entire store must be liquidated. Free financing, all credit welcome. It's happening now. The huge price crash going out of business sale. At Fantasy Furniture, 322 Main Street in Lisbon.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Good Saturday morning. Andrew Zimmel in studio hanging out with you as we continue to work our way through the Giants Sports Show. Coming up in a little bit, going to be NDSCS's women's basketball head coach Park Masterson to talk to us about all things happening over at the college. Been an excellent, excellent fall so far for the Wildcats. Volleyball team continues to roll. Football team has the biggest game of the regular season coming up this afternoon, 1 p.m. kickoff, and it's going to be a nice one today, too. That's the other big thing for the Wildcats. It's going to be a good one, so if you're in town, if you have a chance to go to that game, going to be around 65 degrees, so nice football weather for you. The biggest thing isn't the weather, though. It's the team that they're playing. They're playing the College of DuPage. This is a team that last year NDSCS lost to in the national championship, so a little bit of bad blood there. There is a history of these two teams playing a couple years ago. In fact, about, I'm going to say, 7-10-ish years ago, it used to be a home-and-home where science school would be going down to DuPage, and then DuPage would be coming up here. That has not been the case for the past few seasons, however. Last week, DuPage beat Rochester, a team that is in the conference with NDSCS. In the same conference as Rochester, or as NDSCS. So this will be a good test for them. To this week, and hanging out with me right now is head coach of the NDSCS Wildcats women's basketball team, and talking to me all things Wildcats is Park Masterson. Good morning. How are things going?
Good. So good. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to get to chat with you.
I know. We haven't gotten a chance to chat in person on the radio in a couple months now, but this is the first time you've been in studio with us, so thanks for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
All right, so let's talk about it, because a lot of things going on over at Science School, and you got a whole list of things I see on your phone here, so let's go through them.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like you mentioned, there's so much happening at NDSCS this weekend, today, and just a lot of great things that have happened already so far. So, yeah, just go with it.
Yeah, just go with it.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll start with this weekend. We're hosting the inaugural Bell Bank Tournament. So thank you so much to Bell Bank, athletic sponsor for over a decade. And Coach Pesa did a fantastic job. Tons of teams here, multiple top 15 teams in the nation.
Wow.
Came out. Yeah, so the Wildcat Volleyball has played five, or will play five, top 15 teams already, including today. So both in Iowa earlier this year and then right now. So they're 9-5. They have, what, 2 games today, 10-30-2 in the BAC. And yeah, number two in the Mondac, dropped a really close one against Bismarck last week. Great game, all 5 sets. The number one team right now in the Mondac, but it was a fun game, great game to watch, and excited to watch them continue. Samantha Cole, Mondac Player of the Week this week, so really excited for that. But yeah, volleyball today, 10:30, 2 p.m. I know it kind of conflicts with football.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a big football might take the precedent here. I understand it.
Yeah, for sure. And volleyball had 2 games yesterday. They went 2-0 as well, so that was great. But yeah, football is kind of the highlight of today at the moment, I would say. So NDSCS, College of DuPage, number one in the country, DuPage, number two NDSCS, rematch of the D3 football national championship from last year. We've got the Chaparrals at home now, and we're really excited. I know the football team, Coach Isendorf and his staff, they've been preparing their gentlemen, and I know they're going to give a great show.
I feel like they've been preparing this since last year.
Absolutely.
Since there were triple zeros on the scoreboard, I feel like they've been wanting to get this one back. For those of people who were not at the national championship last year, I had the opportunity to be, and it was a it was windy, it was cold, it was you couldn't throw a pass. It was not exactly the most fun game to watch. In fact, some analysts were calling it a rock fight, myself included. So I'm curious to see what it looks like today, where the weather will be, I think, in favor of the Wildcats. They have a really good running game this year. They will be able to throw the ball. It won't be 70-mile-per-hour winds.
Yes. Well, I'd also like to really give you credit and say thank you to you for showing up to our national tournament games, wherever they may be, here in the Midwest or down in Texas. So we appreciate that, and giving the Wildcats some coverage. Yeah, and it's, you know, I don't know if people know, but the national championship last year was played at the College of DuPage their stadium.
Yes, which is questionable, but whatever. Yeah, the funniest thing is that they had, like, a banquet beforehand,
yes.
And it was in, like, their banquet hall, and they had their professors talking about it. It felt like they had already won the national championship. And the Wildcats fans and you know, players were not exactly thrilled by that,
mm-hmm.
Myself included. I kind of was like, why do we go to this? And then they won, and it was like, you really can't complain when DuPage wins the whole thing. So, Park, what are we going to do to host the national championship here? Is the real question.
I mean, I would love that. You saw their facilities, though. They've got a little bit of a leg up in that way. But, hey, if we can make it happen, I would love to make them travel back here again and get on that bus. I love when teams have to ride buses and come to us instead of us going to them.
Because you know what it's like to be cramped in a bus for 10 hours or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, so just really excited for that today. We have two gentlemen on the football team who were awarded MCAC as well as NJCAA Players of the Week this week, Mr. Roosevelt Cage and Sam Burkell. So, yeah, and just some really high-level football out there, and excited to watch it.
And for Cage, he's averaging around 100 yards per game. I think he's the number two rusher in the country right now. And then Wildcats also have the number 7 rusher in the country right now, I believe. Two guys averaging around 100 yards per game. This is the problem last year, and I told Coach Isendorf this, and he was not exactly thrilled. But whatever. Point is I was saying that DuPage runs the ball very, very well. The Wildcats did a really good job of throwing the ball around the field. When it's really windy, you know, things happen. I think that they took a page out of the DuPage book and said, you know what? We're going to become the best running team in the country, and we'll see what that looks like today. 1 p.m. kickoff, B92.7 if you want to listen to it. If you can make it to the game, I'm going to advocate that you should. And bring a, you know, we have the app. Listen to the game while you're at the game. You know, it's always nice. Brad Anderson does a great job on B92.7. You can listen to the game. So there's a bunch of, you should go to the game if you can, is my point.
Please, we'd love to see you there. Yes, Brad does an amazing job. Love to listen to him. Always compliments on how he represents the Wildcats. But yeah, should be a great game, both on the field. And then, you know, if you're a Catbacker, come out to the Catbacker room. We'll have some sandwiches, some ribs, grilled up by Mr. Stu Ingen himself. So yeah, it should be a good time.
Ribmaster Stu is
making,
oh boy, that sounds, you can't miss that if you're a Catbacker.
Absolutely not.
So what else is going on? What else are we missing here?
I think that's kind of, you know, what we're in season now. It's crazy that we're approaching October here in only 2-3 weeks. So, you know, that means basketball is fast approaching, but also homecoming. So we're only about 3 weeks away from homecoming. Homecoming week starts October 2nd and runs through the 7th. So October 7th will be our homecoming football game, Hall of Fame banquet, tailgate, whole hog roast again, all that good stuff. So that's, you know, get that on your calendars. That's really upon us here soon.
Yeah, soon for you.
Yes.
The rest of us, I have a bunch of football games and stuff like that to deal with until then. You have to have it on your calendar right now, though. So the rest of us should put it on our calendar. October 7th, homecoming, circle it, and make sure you're there to support the Wildcats.
Yeah, and just really excited. We have three individual inductees, two teams, David Urbis, Jason Flack, and Lindsay Wasland. And then we have the 2002-2003 women's basketball team and the 1973 track team being inducted this year. So we're really excited to have just a wealth of Wildcat pride and success coming back and getting to induct all those teams.
I'm impressed. So I give Carson Yagi a lot of grief because he has a stat sheet in front of him, which I appreciate because I can't keep the stats during the game, and Breckenridge consistently has the stats for us Saturday mornings. I want to give you credit. You were able to list all that off, and I don't think you looked at your phone once when it was going through all those different teams. I would not have been able to do that. So shout out to you,
Thank you.
To remember all of those teams going into the hall.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's important to me and to us, truly, these individuals, how they've represented, you know, both when they were here, but also now when they've continued and carried that Wildcat pride for some of them 50 years. So our 1973 track team is their 50-year anniversary. And just to have those gentlemen be so excited to come back and, you know, celebrate what they experienced here and the positive memories and everything. So I just want to, you know, give them that respect and everything for their, you know, Wildcat pride.
I'm going to go on a limb here, and Mike, you can attest to this. I think that they still could beat me in a race.
We can arrange that.
We can arrange that?
Yeah.
Thanks, Park.
Anytime.
Head coach of the NDSCS women's basketball team, Park Masters, been talking to us about all things Wildcat. Thank you so much for coming in this Saturday morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
And go Wildcats, take on DuPage today, 1 p.m. You can listen to the game on B92.7. That's going to do it for us on the Giant Sports Show. Another one in the books. We'll be back next week, 9 a.m., talking all things Twin Towns. Until then, have a great rest of your weekend.